Well, do you know your Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know your Father? Do you really, really know Him? How much do you know Him? Now think about that. How much do we really know our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and what He has made available for us? You know, to know is power, right?
Right.
If we get to know something, then we have more confidence with it, and we can use it. And this is obviously so true spiritually. The more we know our Heavenly Father, the greater we recognize the significance of the life of Jesus Christ, you know, the better we're going to be able to believe Him and walk with Him. And so tonight, I want to talk about getting to know Him and getting to know and what that means. Do you really know? That's the title of my sharing. Do you really know? So I've got some notes for you. And we're going to look in the Bible where at the word to know, and just some details about this. And I'm sharing this just to perhaps help you get a better understanding of what's being communicated in God's Word, so that you can really know your Heavenly Father. You know, the greater we know Him, the greater we're going to be able to walk with Him. So, in your notes here, I'm sorry, some of you, I tried to send a copy to as many folks as I figure might be on the conference call line. But, you know, I'm sure I missed some folks, and if so, I'd be glad to send you these notes if you want to get in touch with me and let me know where to send it, okay? So my encouragement tonight is to build what you know about God and His Word so that you can believe Him bigger and more than ever before. Do you want to believe God bigger than ever before?
Yes.
I do, and I've known Him for 50 years. And I'm still need to know Him better and deeper. And I just want to see my Heavenly Father work with me greater than ever before. And so for me, and I think for any Christian, how is that going to happen? They've got to go to God's Word. They've got to learn what God is all about. God communicates Himself. He communicates His promises. He communicates the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word. So we've got to learn to know God's Word. So on this chart, you can see, like in the Old Testament, those are the Hebrew words, the main words for to know. Yada, and I guess the old Hebrews, yada, 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 huh? To know, to know, to know. But so we're going to look at the New Testament tonight. And I would like to assign some verses to you tonight for you folks that are here to help out. And as we go through these different words that are translated in the English to know. And you can see we've got oida, epi, this is the Greek, gnosko, epigenosko, and synesis. And so I want to share a few scriptures in each one of those categories to help you see what they mean and get a little bit more out of God's Word. Because if the word know is used, well, which one is it? Is it oida, epi, gnosko, synesis? So if we can identify some of this, then we're going to get a little deeper knowledge, a little deeper understanding. So can we go over here with Al, John 16:30, and then John 20:25, and those are the two scriptures we're going to look at for OIDA. And this is just a simple, a word means open knowledge, obvious, no deep, you don't have to have a PhD type of thing. It's just a basic surface knowledge. And I'm going to ask you guys to read it nice and loud so the folks can hear it on the conference call line. And so, Al, what's this first one, John 16:30?
John 16:30 says, "Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God."
Okay, so all these things, knowest all things from God. And this is just the simple, obvious, basic knowledge. Knowest all things, okay? 20:26.
"And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you." 25. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe."
So it's that right, I shall see his hands, okay, is this word iota. And it's just, who was this?
Thomas.
He wasn't sure, you know. He hears all this great things has happened, that Jesus Christ was alive, raised from the dead, and he didn't, you know, he wasn't buying it, because I need to see it. I need to see his hands. And that's what this word, oida, he just, it's obvious, I just got to see it. It's basically, I got to see his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Simple knowledge like that. Okay? So, that's used quite a few times in the Bible. This word epi has an emphasis of a clear, exact information, emphatic, has a powerful influence on the knower. It's used in prefixes quite a bit to give strength to other words, and we'll see that later on the list. You see down the list here, epignosko, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see how those two work together in a moment. But let's just take a look at, we'll just look at Philippians 3:12. Who wants to read Philippians 3:12? Huh? Are we going around and like that? Yeah, Philippians 3:12.
"I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I've already reached perfection." Is that not it? 3:12?
Yeah.
Philippians. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Oh, that is right. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, read that again.
"I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me."
Okay. I've got the King James. "May apprehend that for that." He apprehended it, that perfect knowledge of him. What is that?
NLT.
Yeah, NLT. What do you have?
NLT.
Yeah. King James? Anybody have the King James?
Oh, I have the King James.
Yeah, King James on Philippians 3:12. Because because of the different translations, and I'm looking at a King James, so it's a little different.
A King James?
Yeah.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended.
And that's the key word, apprehend.
Apprehend.
That.
Of Christ.
Okay. So for that perfect knowledge, that exact knowledge.
The New King James says that I may lay hold of that which.
Yeah. Yeah, with exact knowledge. Now, gnosko is used a fair amount of times. We'll look at a number of these. The insight which manifests itself through a thorough understanding of the subject. So if you gnosko something, then you might have a bachelor's degree in it, or maybe a PhD or something. It's not just a surface knowledge, but it's a thorough understanding of the subject. So Acts 8:30, Tom, and Jeannie, Romans 7:1. You want Ephesians 3:19, and then I'm going to do 2 Peter 1:20. Okay, so let's take a look at Acts 8:30, nice and loud.
And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?"
Yeah, do you really understand? I mean, he's reading Isaiah. That's the Ethiopian, right? Mm-hmm. And he didn't, right? Later, if we read on, we know he needs some help.
Right.
And that's this gnoskos. Do you thoroughly understand what you're reading? And we want a gnosko, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the great truths of God and who we are in Christ, this is how we want to really have a thorough understanding. Romans 7:1.
Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law was dominion over a man as long as he lives?
Yeah, and again, speaks to them that know the law, that they have a thorough understanding of the law. All right? Ephesians 3:19.
This is a good one.
It is.
To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we want to have a thorough...
Gnosko, the love of God.
Yeah, to really know it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to really, really know it. And that's what we want to get to. The more we know the love of God, the greater we can live it.
Mm-hmm.
We can live it. All right, who has 2 Peter 1:20? I do. All right. 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I mean, this is a huge key in working God's Word, and knowing this first, having a thorough, complete understanding, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, because the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you can see how these words fit in with the meaning there, okay? Now, let's take it a step up. Epignosko, ultimate insight of knowledge. So Luke 5:22. Who's
I got it.
Okay, Al. Luke 5:22, and Daniel, Colossians 1, 6. And we'll just do those two here.
But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts?
Yeah, see, he perceived their thoughts. He had this great ultimate insight on what they were thinking. God was giving him revelation, right? Of what's going on. So this word perceived is this epignosko, ultimate insight of knowledge. Colossians 1:6, this is kind of neat.
Which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth.
Okay, knew the grace of God in truth. You know, that's the grace of God is so huge and so big. That's what we've been studying in our garage group, is the grace of God. And we're trying to get an epignosko of the grace of God. And because it's so important to understand the grace of God. And again, the more we know about it, we see how it works, we see examples in the scriptures, then we can incorporate it in our life. Comprende? Comprende ustedes?
At first you gave me to read, the NLT said Jesus knew instead of perceived.
Yeah.
And he knew what they were thinking.
Yeah, and he did. He had that ultimate knowledge. Yeah. And then the last one is synesis. And synesis is a clever understanding, making for a productive thought. And it's unfolding of information to give an explanation. And it refers to two rivers meeting together, flowing together. Mm. So two things meeting and becoming one. So it's a clever understanding. So Luke 2:47. Dagmar, is that okay. One that you can do? And then Colossians 2:2-3. Okay, Tom? Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 2 and 3.
Luke 2:47. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers.
Yeah, and they were, I think the King James says, astonished,
yep.
Amazed, same kind of thing, of his understanding and his answers. Why? Because it came together for him. He had complete understanding. It flowed for him. And then finally, this is our last verse here for tonight, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
I mean, that's we're at the pinnacle here, right? Mm-hmm. We're at the top of this most that you could know or understand, that their hearts being comforted, knit together in love, with the full assurance of understanding. Full assurance. You're assured, you know what it's all about. Understanding what? The mystery of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. One body. We're all in the one body of Christ. Man, oh man, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, that's synesis there. And that's where we want to get to the point that God's word really fits for us, that we can know it, not just see a surface little verse, oh, that's nice, and then move on, but really get a depth to it. Really have a gnosko or an epignosko or a synesis of what the word is really saying so that we can live it and share it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Father, thank you that you have given us your word that we can study, that we can work, and that we can understand it, Father. You've made it so we can, that we can have a full understanding, and that it doesn't need to be difficult or hard, but we can just see it fit so wonderfully and beautifully. So thank you for giving us your word, giving us the knowledge and information of who we are in Christ and who you are as our loving Heavenly Father. And may we continue to grow, continue to learn, continue to put your word on more and more so that we can have the assurity, the confidence, and the boldness to live it, to believe it, and to hold it forth. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.